Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Lieutenant General Susan Lawrence, Army CIO and G6. General Lawrence, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Jason, thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate the opportunity to tell our story.
You at the Army have so much going on, but if I got to start somewhere, I always have to start with email, enterprise email. Give us a status update on the progress you guys are making. And, you know, I think the one big question that I haven't seen too much people talk about is the Defense Knowledge Online and Army Knowledge Online. What happens to DKO and AKO?
That is our number one enterprise initiative that the Army is working through right now. And we are on track to complete by the 31st of March 2013. DoD Enterprise Email is the top information technology efficiency initiative. But it's as I tell people, enterprise email is not about email. It's about single identity, which is absolutely key for us to get a joint information environment. Today, we've migrated over 330,000 users, and that includes all services and members of the joint staff. It is managed by DISA, and what is key is most important through it is the security that we're getting by going to this enterprise environment. It's CAC-enabled, meaning that we can secure it better and that we can authenticate the users that are on it. What has been absolutely huge by going to the enterprise email, for example, I've been on it for over a year now, is that with my CAC card, my single identity, I can access my network and the information from my home, from my office in the Pentagon, from Fort Bliss in Afghanistan, wherever I go in the world. And that's been the real win for us. We've made some significant progress with under the leadership of my deputy, Mr. Mike Krieger, and the DISA director, Lieutenant General Ronnie Hawkins, who have been great partners as we've gone through this. Again, people are asking about the efficiencies that we're getting from it, and it is significant. And for the first time, we actually have cost transparency across the Army on these IT services that we're receiving. You also asked about what happens with our DKO and AKO users. We're reviewing multiple courses of action to support, again, an enterprise environment for our business users. And that could be soldiers, civilians, and contractors, depending on where they work. And more importantly, how do we get information to our retirees and families and keep them connected? So as we look through these courses of action, we are working with DISA on an enterprise collaboration service environment, which we think will be in place by the end of fiscal year 14. So that's where we're headed for right now as we go through this. And again, we're finding significant savings to our way ahead here in this enterprise, and that's in support of the Secretary of the Army's IT management reform, where he has asked us to look at efficiencies and return $1.5 billion by the end of FY15. And we're on track to be able to do that.
Let me just jump back, because I definitely want to talk about the efficiency savings, because there's an interesting audit that came out. But before we go there, in terms of the courses of action you're looking at around AKO and DKO and eventually getting to an enterprise collaboration service, AKO and DKO were initially thought of as that collaboration service and in many ways had a lot of the functionality of a collaboration service. What you guys are doing is looking at it, say, okay, how can that fit inside the enterprise email construct, or is it just a separate project that's related?
It's going to be a separate project that's related. The key with DKO and AKO is, foremost, making it a joint solution as we work through it. The second is that the majority of the back-end applications were user ID and password encrypted, which we're finding is very, very hard to secure. By going to the enterprise email and being CAC-enabled, we're better able to secure our information. AKO and DKO was absolutely visionary, ahead of its time, a great modernization effort, but we face different challenges today. First and foremost is the fiscal constraint we find ourselves in, that we have to go to a single environment, a single standard across the Department of Defense. And the second one, as I stated earlier, is the need to secure our information better than we can today. But it is important, and we will continue to pursue how we keep our families, retirees, contractors connected to us as we do our jobs to keep them informed on the way ahead.
Now, the other piece of this is you talked about significant savings. Now, there's an audit that came out just recently that said that projected savings were going to be actually less than originally estimated. Was that surprising to you? And will the findings of the audit report have an impact on the project itself?
No. And I'm not surprised at the audit. It's like any other project that you go into. We learned a lot of things on the way ahead, and we had to readjust some of our architecture work as we were doing it. But what was key from the audit is the finding was that there was not statistically a significant enough of a variance to change the way ahead. And in fact, the savings that we are going to return to the service remains is very, very significant.
It's interesting because there's a whole lot of discussion around cloud and whether there's savings in cloud or if it's just sure. The idea that it's more long-term savings. With 330,000 people already migrated, are you already seeing savings?
Absolutely. We are significantly reducing the cost of an email account to a soldier by over $100 per account. And so when you add that to a $1.1 million Army, you know, we do have the maintenance cost. We do have the support cost that goes with it. But at the end of the day, we're going to be returning in excess of $340 million back to the service.
And I imagine as things change in terms of more people jump on board the enterprise email, your cost should also go down because of just the idea of volume?
I'm not sure that it will work the same way as, an enterprise license agreement would be with industry. There is a flat fee to provide this service, and that's what we negotiated through our work and doing our business case analysis. So I don't know that volume would drop it much more.
But if Navy jumped on the Air Force, it would still be that same flat fee of whatever dollar per email.
I think so. We may get some savings in that we would be able to take better advantage of, you know, the central servers or some of the security architecture or something like that. But I wouldn't find it very significant.
One of the other things about enterprise services and enterprise email is that there's a huge belief that email is the first step toward a bunch of other services. You mentioned the benefits around identity management. Give me a sense, how far away is the Army from taking advantage of those capabilities that identity management provides you?
I'm going to tell you that we are moving very, very quickly into these other ones. Again, the enterprise email was the foundation. It was getting to that single identity so that we could take advantage of other joint unified capabilities. And I do want to talk about my partner, Ms. Hsu, over on the AFOL side that has just been absolutely critical to our success in moving forward for a number of reasons, because what we've been able to show is that by going to these enterprise environments, we're able to move quickly on delivering new IT technologies in an agile way as we work through it. So, for example, some of the joint unified capabilities, in fact, the very next one that we're working with right now with our ASOL partners, specifically Mr. Doug Wilsey and PEO EIS, is our ability to do collaboration, voice, video, instant messaging, chat, everything over IP, if you will. And we're going to start delivering this capability beginning in FY13. And so we're working through the process right now, very much like we did enterprise email, as we do it for rapid modeling and delivering of that capability. We're also learning that and improving on our service level agreements between the Army and DISA and setting the stage for other enterprise capabilities as well.
Now, the voice, video, chat, messaging over IP, is that considered voice as a service? I mean, is it in the cloud per se, or is it just a voice over IP more traditional?
Right. You know, if you think about your home services, when you get bundled services where you can get your TV, your voice, your Wi-Fi, your wireless, this is the type of thing that we're looking to bundle, if you will, so that everything is over IP. Today, our post-campus stations are still on antiquated TDM switches that are very expensive to operate and maintain. And so, again, this will be another one of our efficiencies. And what we're doing is bringing the technology that we pushed up to the edge over the last 10 years at war, where everything is over IP, unlimited bandwidth, and the commanders on the ground can get what they need to do. We're bringing those same technology now to our post-campus stations.
Very nice. I think those people will be very appreciative of coming into the 21st century. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about enterprise services and cloud computing. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Lieutenant General Susan Lawrence, Army CIO and G6.
Join the Northern Virginia chapter of AFSCEA for their annual Spring Mentor Protégé Night, Thursday, June 14th at Maggiano's in Tyson's Corner. If you're under 40, in the beginning or mid-level of your career, you won't want to miss this opportunity. The opportunity to connect with seasoned professionals who are happy to share their ideas, past experiences, and their advice. That's sure to help you reach your professional goals. For more information and to register, visit AFSCEANova.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Lieutenant General Susan Lawrence, Army CIO and G6. General Lawrence, before break, we're talking a lot about the changes that are coming to post-camp and stations, the voice over IP. Give me a sense of how the network experience from the warfighters in Iraq and Afghanistan are translating back to the post-camp and stations.
The network remains one of the Army's top modernization priorities. And because we are going to be bringing the forces back and are bringing them back from Iraq and soon from Afghanistan, we've got to be able to train as we fight. We've got to be able to deploy with little to no notice anywhere in any austere environment. And it is going to be the network that's going to enable that. And that's why it's important that we upgrade our post-camp and stations now. We also know, as we've heard from the leadership in the Army, is that the network is core to a smaller, more capable, better trained expeditionary army, as you've heard in the news, that we are bringing down the size of our forces as we do that. One great example of how we're doing that today is in the past, when a soldier wanted to train on their warfighting capabilities or applications, we would have to put the tactical network back up in the field, and that's where they would go train. Today, what we're doing as soldiers are redeploying is we're taking their warfighting application terminals and we're putting them in classrooms and in their motor pools so that they can train any day of the week on those skill sets that they had so that we can keep them up to keep them trained to the level that they are today after 10 years of war. And that initiative is called Installations as a Docking Station. So, again, a soldier can be training at Fort Bragg, receive an alert and an order to deploy somewhere else in the world. All that soldier has to do is pack up that terminal and go. And when he gets to his distant end, he'll connect right back to this joint information environment that we're building.
Now, when you say pack up that terminal, are we talking about basically a green screen? It's not a green screen anymore, but that type of thing, basically a zero client or a thin client?
Sure. It could be their command post of the future, the CPOF. It could be the 8th ATAD terminal, FBCB2, Blue Force Tracking. Anything that they use to execute their mission today.
I did want to catch up with you around cloud computing, data center consolidation, and tag back a little bit to those enterprise, the concept of enterprise services. Can you give me a sense of how all that fits together?
The cloud computing strategy is key to a number of the enterprise initiatives that we're working at. So what's key to our modernization effort, again, is that I can be anywhere in the world and connect to the network and get access to my information. That means we take your data out from under your desk and or off your laptop, and we put it into a cloud environment. And so as a user, when I connect to that network, I authenticate that it's me and that I have the ability to go to this portion of the cloud, whether it's classified or unclassified or whatever I can authenticate to in that environment. I do my work, and at the end of the day, I disconnect. And whether I have a handheld device, a laptop, or whatever I've connected with, the data remains inside of the cloud and protected there and not at the end user device. So that's one of the things that we're working. So right behind enterprise email for efficiencies is data center consolidation. When you look across the whole federal government at the number of data center consolidation work that we're doing, the Army is about 25% of it as we work through it. We're taking a very aggressive role at it. And to date, we've closed 44 data centers. And as I tell people, enterprise email is not about email. It's the same. Data center consolidation is not about the data center itself, but it's about the data. And so what we're finding and working on is what applications we want to retain, what applications we want to kill, which ones do we want to virtualize and move so that we're more efficient in how we do that. So very much like you use your internet service provider from your home, when you connect, all you care about is I can connect and I can get to my data. This is the same strategy that we're working through our data center consolidation as well.
So 44 data centers have been closed. What's your end goal? How many are you looking at?
We are looking at closing around 195.
And obviously that's all spaced out over the next 2 to 3, 4 years.
Correct. And we're doing everything we can to move it to the left as quickly as possible. We're taking advantage of other joint sites, such as DISA and the Air Force, to move our data. And then we're looking at most, 5 core data centers for the Army, and that's where we'll virtualize our data and put it.
A number of years ago, I think even before your time as a CIO, there was the idea of the APCs, Area Processing Centers.
Correct.
Is that still part of this data center consolidation plan, or has that been something that the Army has given up on?
Almost the basic theory of the Army Processing Center is what we're doing today. That was under General Sorensen, my predecessor, and it was his vision that we're doing it. We don't necessarily use that term anymore. But we are looking at those 5 core data centers, which in essence were the Army computing processing centers that we were looking at.
And going back to you also mentioned about consolidation of applications, to figuring out what you're going to keep, what are you going to virtualize, what are you going to get rid of. Do you know how many applications you have, and do you have how many applications are redundant?
We are right now, another key initiative that we're working on is our ability to see ourselves and to do asset management as we look at it. So we are building a database with all of our applications in it now. We're talking thousands. Very inefficient. Some of them are very outdated. And so what we're doing is I'm having the Army G3s responsible for the warfighting applications, the chief management officers responsible for the business applications, and our team is looking at the enterprise network applications, if you will. And so that's what's key. That's where we're getting our real savings in the data center consolidations, is going through and rationalizing which ones we're going to keep, which ones we're going to virtualize, and which ones we're going to kill. And I think we're going to talk a little bit later about apps for the Army. And so a lot of times people ask me, they said, well, you're out there killing all these applications, these thousands of applications that are no longer needed, that are costly to maintain on our network. But now you're looking at standing up an apps for the Army store with thousands of apps in it again. And so the way I explain that is there's the big A, the big applications that we've designed over the years that were kind of pushed onto the Army in toto, where the majority of the Army's not using them, versus, you know, those little A's that everybody is used to getting to be able to download on their iPhone or their Droid for personal use. And so it's almost that same strategy that we're looking at. Not everybody in the Army needs that app necessarily that we're putting in the apps for the Army store, but those units, those soldiers that do need it, have the ability to download it and use it at that time. And it's much cheaper to deliver those capabilities that way than the way we have in the past.
In the end, you'll end up getting rid of more than 1,000 applications?
I would imagine at the end of the day, you know, we'll probably take 2,000 to 3,000 applications out of the inventory.
And how does the idea of strategic sourcing or enterprise software licenses fit into that as well? Because I know DoD has been out ahead of most civilian agencies when it comes to the idea of enterprise licenses.
Absolutely. And we're still working a number of those very, very hard. That's where industry has been such great partners with us as we've looked at this. Because, for example, we're working one right now where we have thousands of contracts for maintenance from a single vendor. And we're working with that vendor now to consolidate into a single maintenance contract that will save us millions of dollars. Obviously, our most known work is what we've done with Microsoft and our enterprise license work with teaming with Microsoft on those. So we're continuing to pursue more of those types of contract consolidations where we are getting significant savings, which, again, now if you add up the savings we're getting in enterprise email, data center consolidation, and contract consolidation, we're well on our way to meeting the Secretary of the Army's goal of reducing IT expenditure by $1.5 billion in FY15.
All right. Well, you and all your compatriots are across not only DoD, but I think the civilian CIO world are under the same pressure. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. We're going to jump into the Network Integration Evaluation System. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Lieutenant General Susan Lawrence, Army CIO and G6.
Join area civic and business leaders to support the heroes of the Metropolitan Police Department at the D.C. Police Foundation's Law Enforcement Awards Ceremony on June 21st at Arena Stage. MPD Police Chief Kathy Lanier and fellow community leaders will honor 6 outstanding men and women of the department for their brave efforts to keep our communities safe. Awards include Officer of the Year, Detective of the Year, Reserve Officer of the Year, Specialized Unit of the Year, Civilian Employee of the Year, and Staff Support Employee of the Year. And the Public Safety Business Partner Award goes to the Greater Washington Board of Trade. MPD deserves special recognition for reducing the city's homicide rate to a historic low. Support DC's public safety heroes. Attend on June 21st. Buy a ticket or join major sponsors Comcast, Fort Myer Construction, Target, Walmart, Motorola Solutions, and more to support this great event. Register at dcpolicefoundation.org. That's dcpolicefoundation.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Lieutenant General Susan Lawrence, Army CIO and G6. Now, General Lawrence, before a break, we talked a lot about the work you guys are doing around data center consolidation, a little bit around cloud computing. I want to move over to another big initiative, which is the Network Integration Evaluation, or the NIE. Discuss what that is and some of the short and long-term goals.
The Network Integration Evaluation has just been such a game changer for our Army. And now with our joint partners, as we're bringing in the Air Force, the Marines, and even our coalition partners, the United Kingdom is participating with us as well on this current evaluation. What's absolutely key and the win that we're getting from this is that we are bringing soldiers, the material developers, and the engineers together in one location. We're putting them on the operational environment in which our soldiers have to fight, and we're leveraging industry's innovations out there that we work through. And again, as I talked before, they're such critical members to us and teammates because they spend, our top IT companies over the next decade will spend about $3 trillion on research and development, looking at new technology over the horizon. And the services can't afford to do that. And so what we're doing is we're partnering with industry. We're getting the best practices from industry. And so what we do twice a year is we put out what's called a source of thought document, where we articulate where our technical gaps are today. And then we receive back hundreds of solutions from industry. And what we do is we have a panel, we go through and we see which ones we think will best meet our needs to close those gaps. We actually take their product and put it into a lab at Aberdeen Proving Ground, test it to make sure that it's working inside of our network the way that industry says it will, and then we select the best of those and take them to Fort Bliss and actually put them in the hands of soldiers. We're doing that today in our test today in May and June, and leadership will be going down there shortly to take a look at what we're doing with this one. But from this one, I think that we're very quickly going to find some technologies that we're going to turn around and be able to cure and put, as I said, into the hands of soldiers. One of the big wins that we've had is a program called the Net Warrior that has a handheld device on the soldier's arm connected to a rifleman radio. And from that, that soldier out on point can get situational awareness, put in spot reports, know where his partners are, and be able to work the mission from that device. And so we took the program of record to Fort Bliss, and then we took a commercial off-the-shelf solution much like it, and we found that the soldiers actually liked the COTS solution better, and it was much cheaper. And so what we were able to do with our partners in ASALT is redesign that program, and we're now putting that capability in the hands of soldiers in Afghanistan today versus if we stayed on track with the program of record, we'd be a year or two out from those kind of capabilities. So that's some of the wins that we're finding, just an opportunity to find out what's out there. I could go into some more examples that would take the entire half hour, but industry, as I said, has just been superb partners with us and filling those gaps for us very, very quickly.
We are almost out of time. Before I let you go, there's one other thing I wanted to definitely catch up with you about is a couple lessons learned from the technology standpoint. The Army has been fighting the global war on terror for 2 years, specifically, obviously, Iraq and Afghanistan. And there's so many lessons that come from those experiences when it comes to specifically technology. Can you share with us a couple things that really stand out to you?
I was recently actually asked this question at a conference with our tactical signaliers, what have we taken away from 10 years of war and experience? And as I thought about it, I can tell you that certainly in the past 10 years of persistent conflict, it has been the people that have been the ultimate technology game changers. When I think about what our soldiers have done on the battlefield, including disparate networks together and ensuring that the warfighter was connected, it was just amazing watching them in action. our young soldiers that we bring in today are such great innovators, willing to talk to their civilian counterparts and industry experts, and they will find a technical solution to a complex problem on the battlefield. And that's just what's been amazing. As our Chief of Staff of the Army, General Odierno, often says, it's the strength of the Army as our soldier, and he's absolutely right. And as I look at these young signal sergeants and warrant officers and watching them kludge this network together, sometimes with baling wire and duct tape, they can make it happen. And I'm so proud. This is a different generation of soldiers that we're bringing into the Army. They are very, very comfortable in this digital environment, and we just gotta let them loose and let them do their thing. We were recently at Fort Bliss two exercises ago, and there was this young infantryman who wrote a front-end GUI to the common operating picture that was then fielded throughout the command post. It was just amazing watching him do that.
Now, obviously, at the same time, this is also how you guys got down to the Apps for Army program a couple years ago, that you saw that people on the battlefield and in the theaters were developing these applications for use right then and there. Is that still happening? Are you still seeing applications being developed for problems that they face today and not something, 3 years from now?
Absolutely. And if you go to the store, you'll see what some of our young soldiers are doing. In fact, some of them are competing in the marketplace commercially with some of their products that they're doing as they work through it. Something else that I've really been proud of is the home of the Signal Corps. And General Alan Lynn, our commanding general of the Signal Center of Excellence, is just doing a fabulous job in rewriting our curriculums to make them relevant to today. And as you know, one of the new domains we're fighting in is the cyber domain. And General Lynn has redesigned a number of courses to focus on those challenges and, in fact, has recently graduated over 30 warrant officers who are now who we consider our cyber warriors, our leaders that we're putting into units as we work through it. Again, we know that this network that we're building, this modernizing it to this joint information environment, is absolutely key to a smaller Army that's more capable and better trained as we look at it. And it's such an honor to serve on this team as we continue to fight and win our nation's wars when asked to and protect our homeland as we go forward. It's this innovative leadership and the ability to solve complex problems on the battlefield that really gives our Army the technological edge that we need.
All right, very nice. I think we could talk for another half hour, but unfortunately we are out of time this time, and we'll have to have you come back on. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Lieutenant General Susan Lawrence, the Army CIO and G6. General Lawrence, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Jason. It was my honor.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.